Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Everything is a little rainy where I'm at, but God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. You know, Scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. And many will send me messages saying, is this a Bible class or is this something secular? It's everything. Man is made of everything. God, when he said, come on, let us make man in our image, he reached down into the soil, minerals, vitamins, you name it, everything was in the soil at that time to create just something marvelous and wonderful in man. But this morning, our topic is, where can I find God in my time of distress? Psalm 83:18. We're not going to go out there looking for Tom, Dick, and Harry. We're looking for the one that says, I created heaven and earth. That's where I'm headed, and I know you are headed too. Good morning. I am tired. I'm weary. I am frightened by all the reports of death, doom, and destruction. What can I do? Everywhere I look, everything I watch, everything I hear about, it has to do with either some kind of distress. Well, number one, what is distress? Distress is anguish, anxiety, and extreme sorrow. That's all we got. Through man walking around on earth on 2 feet and wherever else he said he is, you know, they're talking about people on Mars, Venus, and getting ready to go to some of those other distant stars. But let me tell you something. Scripture says, to the heavens belong to me, but to the earth I have given to the sons of men. So the sons of men right now is having a lot of problems. Where can I find God in my time of distress? We just mentioned what distress is. We cannot find God through our home and our clothes and our cars and anything else. Trophy husbands, trophy women, our wives, trophy anything, even our children. I know people that have put their all in all in their children. And they somewhere hanging their heads right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. We all know that. We look at the news and we read the newspapers and we also hear all kinds of things you've never heard of even 5 years ago going on. So I'm distressed. I know I am. But where can I find God in my time of distress? Colonel Harrison, our co-host, is with us this morning. How are you doing, Colonel Harrison?
Doing well. Good morning, Dr. Capitano. Listen, the audience doing very well. It's good to be a part of the Global Vision show again. And we're just grateful to have an opportunity to participate again.
Well, I sure am happy that you're participating, but we need you to either get into your cell phone, microphone, or whatever you have, because we can hardly hear you. And I know you have some good information for those that want to know, how can I find God? I'm distressed. I'm burnt out. People lying on me. I mean, and it's not funny. It's not comical, but it is out of the range of man, according to Jeremiah 10:23, to direct his own steps. He said it has not been given to man to direct his own steps. So that means directing his mouth, directing his tongue, directing something he didn't scratch on a piece of white paper. Bishop Mins would say, it is not given to you. So if you're having extreme sorrow in your heart, anxiety and anguish, go to God. That's all Bishop Mills would say. I'd come in there with a little problem. Go to God. And he'd keep on eating. I'd say, Bishop, yeah, you know, I heard this. Take it to God. He either said, go to God or take it to God. Get out of my face with it. He said, I'm not the Savior. Jesus said he's the Savior. So he would cause people to get into that Bible, get on their prayer knees, go to God. Go to God. Don't go to the policeman. That's what he called the policeman. He's very, very, very country. Had people all over the world coming to a Sunday church service. But where can I find God? Colonel Erson, you are a minister and of a East Coast church, and I know that people come to you with their problems, their anguish, their distresses, and, of course, words of sorrow. Where do you tell them to go when they come to you? Where can I find God? Where do you direct them to in the times of their distress? Do you tell them to go to the Psalm 318, God, or do you stand there, a big man, with big, long words? Tell the listening audience what you do. Hi, Miss Gregory. Miss Gregory's on the line. What do you tell them? Where do you send them? Because if you don't send them to the right place, they're going to be back in the morning begging for some advice. Yeah, Bishop Mills said that. If you don't tell them the right thing, that's what they're going to do. They're going to come back again and again and again and again, begging and asking for help when there's only one Savior, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. What do you tell them when they come to you in distress?
I tell them, Dr. Capitano, listening audience, to seek or search for God through prayer. And I said, let's have prayer. Let's have prayer, brother. Let's have prayer, sister. And I have prayer with them because God said, when you search for me in the Bible with all your heart, you shall find me. And so God is always near. He's nearer than we can think. Yes, he has a dwelling place that is the third heaven above, but God is always near through the Holy Spirit, which is another subject. But I lead them in prayer to usher them into the presence of God, because prayer is our ability to have a conversation or talk with God, and that will usher us into the presence of God, who is a holy, infinite, supernatural spirit, the Psalm 83:18 God, that men might know that my name, who is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. So I lead them in prayer in their search for God.
Okay. Do you expect for them to return the next day with the same problem when you lead them to the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God and Son? Do you see them again with the same problem or one worse than the one they came with the day before? What is the status on that?
It varies. Sometimes they come back with a worse problem, sometimes less problems. And if and when they do, I have prayer with them. I open the Bible. I go to scriptures with them to reinforce the prayer and to encourage them to open up the Bible to certain books of the Bible and write down certain scriptures for them so that they can go to that during the time of need. And if they have any questions and comments, that they can get some consolation, get some understanding, and get some firsthand word of knowledge of God. Then if they don't understand the scriptures, I ask them to come back to me or call me, and then we go together and I explain it to them and gradually bring them through that way.
Oh, okay, because I know many here on the West Coast are saying that the reason why most of the churches are closed down, painted in stripes, and so forth and so on, is because all they've done was babysit membership. Said they never expected those people to get up once and for all on their feet. Like the man when Jesus healed him, he got on up and said, I'm getting out of here. I'm going into town. Jesus said, tell him what happened. So I don't know if he came back. The Bible doesn't say he came back the next day and had something else worse than the day before. But these churches, do you think some of just babysitting some of their members for them to just keep on coming back with or without a crutch, do you think that they are equipped as soldiers to go out into the world The Bible says during the times of the Roman dominion, every guard, every soldier walked around with a sword. I mean, as a minister, do you see that trend that nobody gets any better? Nobody gets any wiser. No one gets any stronger. No one gets the kind of education from the scripture that it takes to go ye therefore. Do you find that in on the East Coast or any coast in the world, folks that are sitting around in some of the churches? They sitting there in distress, just sitting there waiting for the amen so they can run up to the pastor. Pastor, Do you find that in the talkings to ministers that you know? They just keep coming. They not equipped to go on no corner and say anything about God. They not equipped. They're not equipped to even write a book, a story, nothing. But they've been coming, begging, sitting, ain't get no better. So I can imagine somebody looking for God in the time of their distress. They show enough distress. They keep coming, ain't getting no better. Keep coming, ain't learning nothing. Keep coming, fighting in the church. Keep coming and coming and coming. Do they ever find God like that? They got to be in distress, spiritual distress, to do something like that, to have a practice of that. Well, I'm going to eat this week, next week. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I know I would be in distress trying to figure out if I'm going to eat anything. But where can they find God? That's the topic, finding God in my time of distress. And really, the Bible asks us to come to him, put our burdens on him. But when you come and leave your burdens there, no burden bearer worth a quarter is going to run back the next day and pick them same burdens up. Because if he do, you will know, because they'll come around hound-dogging for information, for advice, for answers, for a loan, for something to eat. Oh, my God, I would go crazy if I had them kind of people on my bus. I'm going down the street. I'm at the wheel. And here they are in the back, same identical thing. What do you make out of that, Colonel Harrison? Is that something that you've heard of or you know where they just keep running and running and running back and forth, ain't getting no better? And how in the world? Tell us how you think in the world that we walk in, they can go out and knock on one door. They can't do it. I know some, you won't say you them, and you going out with a Bible under your shoulder blade. You will not do that. He says that they might know. That's knowledge. They got to know. Not just sitting up. He said, be ye doers of the world. I'm not hearers only. We got that now. Well, we don't have a lot, because they were just talking about the thousands, and they was trying to name the names of some of the big churches that shut down. They ain't got nothing to offer anymore. People ain't fooled no more, and I'm going to tell you something else. This Internet done messed us all up. Ain't nobody got to wait beyond the grave for no reward. Everything now is instant oatmeal. Instant microwave ovens. They said people don't even use it on that. I mean, this is a world that we live in. So, Colonel Harrison, as a minister, how do you help your flock? And give us some advice so you can help our listeners. Where can they find God in a time of distress? Where can they find him?
Okay, Doc. Several things come to mind. Let me just quote Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, and lead into my comments. And you shall seek me, find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that was through prayer, and I mentioned that. What has happened, the church over the past 100, 150, almost 200 years historically during my research, my study, and so forth, has been focused on worshiping in a church building, a church structure, or a synagogue, or a house, or some structure set up to be called a church. And as a result, people have become conditioned to go to a building and hear either a preacher teach on Bible study night or preach on Sundays and so forth, for the most part, in the Protestant faith. And people become conducive to that. Conversely, you do in the earlier church, when Jesus was on the earth over 2,000 years ago, his original 12 disciples, Jesus taught them, and he sent them out, Matthew chapter 28, to teach people how to seek the kingdom of God and how to become saved and how to do the will of God. So we've gone from what Jesus' ministry originally taught, called Christianity, to where we are today, people worshiping the church. And not a lot of emphasis being placed on teaching the Word of God, but preaching the Word of God by most denominations. And so thusly, we have ended up with the situation we have today, with a lot of people coming, sitting, listening to the preach word, but not getting any understanding about the teaching of the word, which will give them knowledge, give them understanding, bring about a positive spiritual change in their lives for the better, that they live the life God wants them to live. And so that's what has happened. So I have a teaching ministry, and I also have a teaching ministry. And lastly, King Solomon said there's a season for everything and a time for every purpose under the sun.
It most certainly is, and I like that, because if it does belong to anyone walking on two feet to honor God and determine how he wants to be worshipped, and we need to go further past that to his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, where can I find God? You know, there's an adversary walking around that does all he can to keep your face long and dry. His name is Satan. John, the 8th chapter, 14. In fact, read the whole book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John talks more about Satan than the other three books put together. People really don't believe Satan is real. Oh, yeah, Satan the devil. And they keep on walking, but they don't know his demons is right in there behind them. And I was doing the research on that. And as I was telling my church, King James Version of the Bible has 66 books. You got the Catholic Douay Bible, the ones that the Catholics use. I think it said they had almost 80 King James Version, 66, Catholic Douay, 80. And they said the first scrolls ever found was found in somewhere near Ethiopian, but the Ethiopian Bible has 100. And so I did a little research, and I was wondering, well, I already knew from Jehovah's Witnesses why the King James Version only has 66. And of course, as you might guess, the Pope and the papacy around the time of Constantinople, you know, they were looking at what should actually be canonized, because of the Christians from the time of Jesus' crucifixion had gotten involved with other nations. And of course, out of the offshoot of Simon Magu, he was the father of the act of Catholicism. The Bible says in Peter that he was going around the apostles trying to follow them, and he was asking Peter, how much would it cost? You read it for yourself. How much would it cost for you to show me how to raise the dead and heal? And then, of course, the scripture says Peter got on him. I won't go into that. But if you're scholars, if you're trying to be scholars, if you're teaching others, you ought to know. And so now we went into that period. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we really need to. If we're talking about God, we're talking about going out, you got to know. The Bible says that they might know him. Well, the him, all the way from that time, all the way up to about the 12th century, there were issues. But there's different Bible versions. But I want to let you know Those three need to be examined. Even if you don't claim, you got time, because you got 24 hours in a day, you got time. Even if you claim you don't, you need to really look at that, because you will see how other things developed regarding God and what God had to say through some of the other books that did not make it. Why they didn't make it in there, I think we all need to do some research. And I'm not going to say it because I don't want to scare anyone. But once you really know, like Bishop Mim said, know that you know that you know, you know what, well, you're going to straighten up. You ain't going to be the same person. You are not going to be in the distress that the world is in, because you know who you serve, who you're trying to serve, and you know why. And the main purpose is to glorify God. Because, oh, well, why you keep talking about God? Why you got that show you talking about God? I'm living a life to glorify God. What else could I do made out of flesh with 70 or 80 years if I'm lucky? So that's the reason why anyone should be interested not only in finding God, because you done got your legs in a hole, you done messed up along the way, and you keep messing up along the way. Oh, my God. That appears to be a big problem. So we're not trying to find God to get out of distress. We're trying to find him to the scriptures from the very beginning that we have, that we know of. Glorify God. Glorify God. That's all you're trying to do. You may have a home, cars, and whatever this world has to offer, but your main reason for living is to glorify God. And God knows when you're trying to do that. You want the stress off your shoulder? Yeah, the Bible says those that call on God's going to be persecuted. But you already know he's not going to let you fall and falter until that day of your redemption. So, Colonel Harrison, where can I find God in the time of my distress? Let's name some other ways a person can show God. Ain't no need to show in your sister, your next-door neighbor. They could care less. Because in a minute, everybody going to be running. I know you guys heard about that nuclear hypersonic missile aimed toward the United States. Everybody is shaking now. So whatever you're doing, you better do it to God's honor, because I don't care if it's nuclear powers or whatever, weapons of war, just like he saved them through the Red Sea, number one, just like he saved them coming up out of Egypt, put that blood on the doorpost. Anybody that got in the door, so somebody better be listening. Anybody, not over at your uncle's house, but they all gathered where that blood was over the post, they were saved. Look how they went in and defeated the Canaanites. And as God has always made a way, which means he's going to make a way now, no matter what the world is saying and these armed forces are saying. But Colonel Harrison, what can a person do if they don't know nothing about God? They just heard something, but their actions show they don't know him. Did he say he's going to bring a judgment against those that do not know him and that do not obey him? He sure said it. What can we do, those of limited Bible knowledge, those that really don't know their right foot from their left? Very quickly, we have about 3 minutes. What can a person do?
Mention prayer earlier, God. Yeah, prayer was mentioned earlier. One has to search for a teacher, find the teachers that teach them how God wants us to live, and also change their lifestyle. All of this comes together. And as they seek the teacher, and they pray, and they search for God, and they change their lifestyle from the life they're living to a life that would please God based on the teaching they're getting, and then they will find that God will manifest himself, reveal himself to them more and more, and their lives and the trials and tribulations they have will become less and less, and they'll be able to be at peace because they're living a life that's pleasing unto God.
Oh, my God, that is so important and very, very true, because most of all of our ailments come from the outside. A Christian, one that loves God, they ain't going there. They're going to stay out of the way. They're going to go if they called, if they figure their voice and presence can do something. Someone told me, if you come here and you never say a word, that's all we need. You walk in, it's like a shot in the arm. You don't have to say nothing. Just come in and say, please, please, please. They was begging me yesterday. But I want to talk to you about this. Put God first. What you know, the Psalm 83:18, God. And I tell you what, you'll be able to find him in the time of any kind of error of your way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything you need is through Jesus Christ, because the Bible says God sent his son. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great weekend. We're just happy to have your presence. And in 10 seconds or less, same time, same place next week. We love you. You can contact us through MotherNature7@gmail.com. Have a great weekend. Bye.